Hello guys, this is Sholadio. The title of today's random gist is I will never let anyone hurt me again. That's the title. I was listening to a teaching a few hours ago, and this man said something that I will never let anyone hurt me again. That this statement is a very limiting statement. Actually, this statement actually binds you in chains, and I'll explain that to you. The moment he said it, I just knew straight away where it was going, and the Lord gave me an insight to it. I didn't even wait for him to give me the rest of the story. He actually moved on to speak on some other things, so I was just meditating on it, and I figured it out sharp. Now, when you get hurt by a person, we get to that point where we feel angry, we feel used, we feel exploited, we feel cheated, and it's just natural. It is natural, you know, for us to, you know, lock up and erect a protection around our hearts and say, look, I will never let anyone come this close to me again to be able to inflict this sort of pain. And to be honest with you, nobody can betray you or inflict real pain on you if you have not made yourself vulnerable to such people. And really, when you really love a person, at some point you become vulnerable to that person. It's like the person actually has the power to hurt you when you become vulnerable to a person. You know, like maybe you are in a relationship, you fall in love, and even some other types of relationships that are not necessarily boy-girl relationships, where you become vulnerable to another person. I mean, even Jesus Christ was vulnerable to his disciples, and at some point Peter denied Jesus thrice. So you see, Jesus was being knocked to the cross, nailed to the cross, and in fact the disciples were even walking from afar, or had even gone into hiding. And even Peter, who vowed that he would go with the master, die with the master, what did he end up doing? He ended up denying Jesus thrice. So you see, people can deny you, but guess what? Jesus is our perfect example. After he rose from the dead, he still spoke with Peter, and he still entrusted the leadership of the first and early church to Peter. He did not sweep Peter aside and say, well, Peter has denied me thrice, I'm not going to make myself vulnerable to him again, but I would rather pick John or I'll pick James. Jesus did not do that. Jesus handed over the mantle of leadership to Peter. And I believe that was what Jesus had intended to do even before he went to the cross to die for us. And you'll discover that when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples, the same Peter who denied Jesus thrice stood in front of the same generation of Jews to boldly preach the gospel. And in the first presentation of the gospel that he made, I think about 3,000 people got saved and got born again in the same generation, not 50 years later, 50 days later. You understand? So we see here that Jesus trusted him again with the mantle of leadership. So effectively, Jesus became vulnerable again to Peter. Now, I'm not saying to you that if a bozo has hurt you or a rozo has hurt you, you should now make yourself vulnerable to the same person because Jesus made himself vulnerable to Peter again. I'm not sending you on that errand, please. And that's the reason why I didn't bother to tweet about this. I decided to say it on an audio so that I would not be misrepresented or misinterpreted by, you know, people out there who just read ABC and interpret it as XYZ. So I decided to put this on an audio. So it means that if you say that you will never let anyone hurt you again, What you're saying is that you are erecting a protection around your heart, and you will never let anyone get this close to you again. Now, if nobody is going to get close to this close to you again forever, then it means that you have actually cut off your supplies. You've cut off your supplies, so it is a very limiting statement. I'll give you an example. Now, you went into a relationship with a guy, the wrong guy, and he messed up terribly. He broke your heart into pieces that we cannot even find all the pieces complete to put you together again. And then you say that I will never allow a man to ever come near me again in a way that he can hurt me. Then effectively, you can't have a husband. As in, you're saying that you don't want a husband, because marrying a person also implicitly makes you vulnerable. Now, what we need to do is that when we are hurt and we are broken and we are shattered, we need to look up to Jesus for healing. We need to present our broken hearts to Jesus and let him heal our hearts. And at some point, we'll be able again to accommodate love, and then we'll be able to give love another chance again. Now, I'm not saying that you must go back to the people that hurt you and let them hurt you again. No, far from it. What I am saying is that we need to present our hearts to God for healing, to a point where at some point we will give love another chance again. I remember many years ago when I was in a relationship, a strong committed relationship, and the lady just woke up one day and said she was off, and she gave some reasons about her parents' opposition to the relationship. And to be honest with you, I felt it was extremely flimsy, and I did all my best to salvage the relationship, but it just didn't happen. And I think for about a year and a half, I erected a wall and a fence around my heart. In fact, one lady came so close, and when she just noticed that I wasn't going to bulge, I wasn't going to, you know, set the ball rolling, so she decided to hold that conversation with me. And I said, look, you know what? I'm not interested. Someone has broken my heart before. I'm not interested. Just go. I'm not interested at all. Now, you see, at that point, I told her that I'm not just interested. I don't want you, because someone broke my heart before. Now, she was not the person that broke my heart, but the hurt was still there. The pain was still there. So I wasn't going to speak with her. I wasn't going to give her a chance at all, because I was still badly hurt. And at some point, I had to present my heart to God for healing. And after God healed my heart, I was able to give love another chance again. I did not see the rest of the world the same way I saw the person, you know, that hurt me or broke my heart. And of course, the person herself is even forgiving anyway. So I did not relate with other people that I met from that point onwards with the same mindset of, oh, that person hurt me, therefore I will not let you hurt me. And you see, the moment we erect such walls, you know what will happen? Even as a woman, when you erect that kind of wall and you speak those kind of words, what will happen is that when people come close to you, even though you've forgotten that you spoke those words, they will say something one day, they will do something one day, and you will react from the viewpoint of that hurt. And even the people that you are relating with at that point will not even know where that reaction is coming from. I'll give you an example. Now, there was a lady, I remember when I was in church back in Lagos, there was a lady, I can remember her name right now, I remember her face very well right now. And one day we're in the car, and I think it's just like a matter of habit, you know, to me. Maybe when I'm talking to a person and I want to make a very strong point, I would, you know, maybe like tap you on your hand. Look at this thing. So I just tapped her on the hand, you know, in the car like that. And she shivered. She shivered suddenly. And I just said, no. Something is wrong here. Something is wrong. Why did you do that? I mean, that. So I was like, I was convinced that I wasn't the one who gave her that reaction. So I said, something definitely is wrong. That your reaction, the way you jolted, had nothing to do with me. Something else must have been the matter. And the first thing that rolled out of the lady's mouth is that, like, oh, Shola, that guy beat me. He beat me. He beat me. Ah, I said, who beat you? So our ex-boyfriend said, our ex-boyfriend beat Silly out of her. So the moment I touched her hand, what she saw was that boy coming to beat her again. So she reacted suddenly, you know, in defense, to defend herself against me. And I never had such a thing, you know, in mind. I was just, that's the way I tap my friends, that come, look at this thing. So I just tap you, you know, maybe like on your wrist, you know, like, look at this thing. And she just, you know, jolted, you know, she reacted suddenly and sharply. It was like she wanted to even run out of the car. And then I realized that it had nothing to do with me. So when you make those kind of statements, what you are doing is that you are limiting yourself. And to be honest with you, people are still going to hurt you, even in your future. People are still going to hurt you. So if you say that nobody can ever hurt you again, you effectively say that you are ostracized completely from the rest of the world. And there is absolutely no way you can make progress if you are completely ostracized from the rest of the world. Your bosses at work will hurt you. Your colleagues at work will hurt you. Other members in your church will hurt you. People in your mosque will hurt you. People in your school will say things that are upsetting to you. So, I mean, where are you going to start? Even your brothers and sisters at home will upset you. Even your parents will do things that you find very silly. So everybody, you know, everybody out there that you make yourself vulnerable to, or you are involved in any form of relationship with, romantic or non-romantic, has the potential to say things or to do things that could offend you or that could hurt you. But what we need to do is to constantly present our hearts to Jesus for complete healing. Even the Breaking Soul Ties thing that started in 2013, which you know, by the way, I met a friend of mine on the train yesterday, and I sold him a copy of my book, and he looked at the book and he said, amen, that this has to be God. So you started less than 3 years ago by just writing tweets. So now I have a book in my hand that this has to be God. But you see, if you ask me, how did I arrive at that book? What's the journey behind that book? The journey behind that book is a story of hurt and pain. I remember in 2013, someone that I really, really, really took as my brother, that I mean, as in, if something dropped on me now, I mean, if I'm concerned about something, if I'm vulnerable about something, or if I even felt fearful about anything, it was one person that I would call and speak with and say, look, I have this concern. Things I will never, ever even tell you, the hearers of this audio, I will tell him and say, look, that this is what I feel, you know, about this situation. And one day, I just got, can't remember now whether it was a text message or an email, that he was gone, that, you know, more or less like he didn't want to participate with me anymore in anything that had to do, you know, with ministry or that sort of a thing. I tried to reach him and he said, no, don't bother. Don't even bother to come. I tried to, you know, reach him to say, okay, even if that's the case, at least can we still have a cordial relationship, a cordial rapport, where I can bump into your house at any time I like and you can bump into my house. He actually specifically told me not to bother to come to his house. Now, that was painful. That was like a limp, you know, almost like you took something away from me. And to be honest with you, I locked up that year, and I was like, can I ever trust anyone again? Would I ever be this close, you know, to anyone again? Would I make myself vulnerable to anyone, you know, like this again? And it was out of that Soul Ties, in the midst of that Soul Ties started. Soul Ties had no reference to him, by the way, so it's not like I was saying things about him on Soul Ties or anything. No, Soul Ties is a different thing altogether. But that experience, it was while I was seeking God that thing opened. And there is a scripture in John, I think that should be John 12, I think 24-25, it says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But you see, when it falls into the ground and it dies, then new life can spring out of it. So it means that every time you experience death in your soul, every time someone betrays you, every time someone breaks your heart, that is like the corn of wheat falling into the ground to die. And once the water goes on that plant, and that is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, once it pours upon that ground where the corn of wheat has died in the ground and has broken up, then new life, a new plant and a new life with many seeds can sprout out of the ground. So you see, there are things, there are people that will come, there are relationships that will come into your life, and at some point those relationships will die. That's, you will not even be in a position to resurrect those relationships. They are dead and gone, and God will spring forth new life, new opportunities for you, great potentials for you. I mean, you look at it now and said, someone hurt me. I mean, for me, it was like, it was almost like the end of my world then. But I thank God for the person I married today, and I also thank God that this other person walked out of my life, because the person I married today, I believe, was the person that God specifically created and designed for me. Seriously, so I am extremely glad that this other person had walked out of my life the very time that she did. But at that point, I was crying, I was weeping, and I was thinking, what else could I have done to have saved this from happening, or to have prevented this from happening? But looking back today, I thank God that it happened, because that corn of wheat died and a new life came out, new opportunities came out, far better than what died. And I want to assure you that if there is any relationship that has died in your life today, greater ones are coming as you present your heart for healing to God. So even though you could have said it, you know, in anger or in ignorance, that I will never let anyone come this close to me again to hurt me, I also have said it before, so I'm not judging you. We all have said it at some point, but at some point too, we will need to present our hearts to God for total healing, so that we can be healed and we can be open to great and new opportunities of life out there on the earth. Look, there are people out there, there are great people out there who are very loyal. There are women out there who are very loyal, who just need one chance to show that they are loyal to, that they can be loyal to people. There are men out there who are very loyal, who just need that opportunity, just one chance to show you that they are loyal people. Not everybody is like the person that hurt you. We need to pass that message across. Not everyone on the earth today, there are over 6 billion people on the earth today, and you cannot say that all the 6 billion people are like the one jerk that hurt you yesterday. No, that's not true. There are great people out there who need that opportunity, who crave for that opportunity to be given that chance to show that they can be faithful to you, they can be loyal to you, they can love you, they can cherish you. And at some point, God will give us those opportunities. God will bring such people into your life, and they will bring about a freshness and a smoothness and a sweetness that you never experienced in your previous relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to close this by praying for everyone here, that in the name of Jesus, should anyone of listening to this message, I've been hurt by men, I've been hurt by women, that the balm of Gilead will heal you and put you back together again in the name of Jesus Christ, and will give you new opportunities, new doors, and new possibilities of new relationships that will bring sweetness, freshness, and refreshing into your life that you have never experienced before. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much, and I hope this would have been a blessing to you. And if you need to contact me, my Twitter handle is Shola Adio, S-O-L-A Adio, Shola Adio, Sola Adio. And if this broadcast has been a blessing to you, feel free to tweet at me and let me know what you feel about it. All right then, bye bye.